Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, survivors, caregivers, and all of you that are tuning in to our national and international TBI One Love podcast, which, as you know, is spreading our positive form of hope, inspiration, and education. Well, it's hard to believe, but also thankful that it's a new year, which is a new opportunity to reach new heights, change our personal and professional gear since this lovely 2020 that we've all been encountering, but also to really have a new source of hope for us all. And to kick that off, we have such an amazing show, which is not only having our usual one guest, but also two. That's right, two. We have Kim Hahn and Chris Lieberman from the Brain Injury Recovery Foundation. The Brain Injury Recovery Foundation is based out of Oklahoma, and of course, like us, it is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to support those who have suffered a brain or neurological injury, as well as their family, friends, and caregivers. And they provide a phenomenal program of care, finance assistance, and of course, rehabilitation to meet what the individuals need so they can achieve their own personal set goals. And I'm happy to share, and I know we're going to have a great conversation with them, but Kim and Chris, our two inspirational guests, are both not only founders, but also Chris is a survivor himself. So it's going to be a great interview segment of getting not only their personal impact, but also their professional and understanding what they have reached and made possible from individuals that are going along with this lifetime journey that unfortunately has no end to it. But when you have individuals like this behind the wheel, it's going to be more of a positive ending, because just like we all want is to achieve our own goal settings that adapt with us instead of us trying to adapt with it. Without further ado, I hope you guys are sitting down and ready for this phenomenal show to kick off the new year and new opportunities with Chris and Kim. So without further ado, let's get this started. Chris and Kim, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
Awesome. Hey, James. It's so great to meet you.
So great to meet you guys, too. Thank you for the opportunity, literally, of a lifetime, not only to kick off the new year, but also to spread a large source of information that is going to help anyone that has suffered a brain or neurological injury, but also as well as the general public and caregivers, et cetera.
Well, I think we're the ones who should be thanking you for the opportunity. You know, we... Chris is a survivor. I'm a caregiver. I'm Chris's girlfriend. When Chris had his accident, we had been dating for 7 years. And, you know, it throws you into a whirlwind. It literally turns your life upside down. And we've learned so much through this process. And in fact, it's actually what inspired us to start the Brain Injury Recovery Foundation, just going through Chris's accident, all the lack of resources that we found, and wanting to inspire and give hope and help others survive this, what could be a catastrophe event.
You know, and that's what's very phenomenal. And like you heard me mention, I know we're going to go in more detail about that, but how Chris is a survivor, but also how you both are founders of this foundation, and really understand it on a personal level, but bringing more to the table than just the simple format of learning to understand what a brain injury is.
But, you know, and I think anybody else who's been in this, probably on this call, when I survived, I didn't understand why, because I didn't have all the resources to actually survive the way I wanted to. So I didn't have hope. And so I found an activity-based recovery center. And once I had hope again, I've always done nonprofits to help others. But once I had hope again, I came back to that. And I realized that what we had gone through, lots of people are going through. Millions of people in just America are going through brain and spinal cord injuries. So I have the resources to go through ours, but I wanted to give the same resources, including financial resources that I had, because not everybody has done all these big events like we have to raise money. So rather than making them raise money, which they don't know how, really, not that kind of money, we are actually going to provide all of our programs and services for free. So the fact is, we've been through it. We know what they're going through. We know what they need. We know what they have. And we are, I've never worked so hard on a foundation or thing like this, because it's the reason the Lord helped me survive. And as I always put it, because I'm a businessman, I got to give them a good ROI.
But, you know, that's what's really understanding the power and very beneficial for not only, of course, the general public, but for anyone that has been touched by a brain injury, because you live with it, you understand that, but also Kim understands that also with being right there with you during this, not only professional journey, but also personally on an everyday cycle.
Yeah, that's exactly it. And maybe just to give you a little history on who Chris and I are. So Chris is the founder of the Route 66 Marathon in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And we also founded a music festival called the Center of the Universe Festival, which we put on hold due to Chris's accident. And, you know, Chris has been a successful IT, has many, many companies over the years. And, you know, something like this is obviously very life-changing. And we're very thankful that our experience and events and our other businesses have given us the expertise to start a nonprofit, to fundraise for a nonprofit, and then in turn, that's helped us to be able to do that for people in our caring program. You know, so our caring program, we'll do everything from, you know, meet with family members, you know, whether it be via Zoom or Skype due to COVID right now, phone calls, and really help either encourage them or guide them or, you know, talk about facilities or next part of cares, or sometimes it's just them calling to vent about something and, you know, wanting someone else to talk to who's been through this, because we know what it's like. I know what it's like. And so does Chris. And to have that is really invaluable. That's something I didn't have going through Chris's accident. And there probably were some resources out there, but when you are going through it, sometimes it's really hard to find those and you're so overwhelmed. And so we really want to help, you know, put that awareness out there so people do know that we're here for them and we can help them. And that's, you know, one of the things that we're doing with our foundation.
And the reason I'm the ambassador is because they need to see, you know, they're sitting there in the hospital and the doctors don't give you much hope. And, you know, maybe there shouldn't be, I don't know, but I can show them what we've been, well, what I've been through and Kim, and don't ever give up. That's what I tell them. And as long as you're willing to keep working, doing whatever you need and don't give up, they can get where I got. And if they need the resources somehow, we have a lot of people just needing to find a different hospital or whatever. How do I get through the insurance? What do I do? We're there for them. They just need somebody to give them hope and support. And that's what our life is dedicated to now.
You know, and that's something that is not only very powerful hope, but also something that is well needed during every step of this long road recovery, because as we know, being survivors, and Kim understands with the, being the relationship and the business partner, is that hope is something that reaches literally everyone. And people need to understand that, of course, a brain injury is very strong and affects the survivor's life, but it also affects anyone. Keyword, anyone that associates with that individual. And I think something that's very beneficial that we have done with TBI One Love is helping caregivers understand not only support for, of course, their survivor, but most importantly for themselves, because it's a big burden and a big life change that they have to adapt and they need support as well.
Yeah, that's so true, James. And maybe I should kind of talk about our story a little.
Please, that would be phenomenal.
I think, you know, I feel like our story we went through, Chris had so many medical complications, so I'll start here in a second, but just to kind of give a preface is I kind of feel like we kind of went through the worst of everything, and so now we've been through all of that, which, you know, as going through it, it seems so horrible at the time, but hindsight, now it actually gives us some expertise, and it really helps us to be able to relate to people and, you know, really help to give some understanding to other people that are going through this because of that. So let me kind of start with how it started. As I was saying, we're event organizers. And so we have a warehouse where we keep all of our, you know, our storage, our signs and products, things like that. And one day Chris went up to the warehouse to get something off, you know, off of one of the shelves. Like, should have been a super quick trip, just run out there, hop on the ladder, grab the item, lock up and leave, you know. And maybe about, I don't know, 30, 40 minutes after he had left, I got a phone call, a frantic phone call from another one of our directors that was with Chris at the time. And apparently Chris had climbed up the ladder, and when he did, it had slipped. And so Chris fell to the ground onto the concrete. We're guesstimating 6 to 10 feet, and then fell backwards and hit his head. Chris was unconscious for a short time, regained consciousness, and then called me and was like, hey, I don't feel good. My head hurts and I'm coming home. And then about that time, you know, our friend that was with us was like, listen, do not let him come home. Do not let him go to sleep. Like, he hit his head really hard. He passed out. I heard it. Like, I've called EMSA. Please have them come get him. You know, please make sure Chris gets in it. So, of course, when you get a phone call like that, you know, I was driving to an appointment. And I just kind of yelled at him, like, get in the car, get in the, like, you could have a concussion. I mean, Chris was speaking and seemed fine. So I really just thought, like, let's just make sure there's no long-term damage. Because you hear stories, you know, people go home, they go to sleep, they don't wake up. And I really just wanted to make sure we could mitigate anything like that, thinking it wasn't a big deal.
Well, and you know, I don't remember a lot, but I remember her calling me and making me go to the hospital. I was like, I'm just tired. I want to go home. You know, since then, the nurses have told her, if I was like 20 minutes later, I probably wouldn't have made it.
No, that's actually exactly what the doctor said. So once they did the CT and saw, you know, the doctors came in and they drew a big circle. There was a whiteboard in the emergency room and they darkened about a good quarter to half of it. And they were like, you know, this is Chris's head. This is his brain. This is the blood that's on his brain, showing me all the dark area. And so we were like, oh, wow. Like, you know, we're kind of looking at each other like, oh, are they going to, like, drill a hole? Like, how did they get the blood off? And he was like, you know, we need to do surgery. We need to take the blood off. And then he started telling us that he's going to have to take Chris's skull off. And, you know, that certainly wasn't something we were prepared for, but we still were thinking it was just maybe going to be a simple procedure. He'll be fine after. Go get that taken care of, and we're going to move on with our day. Maybe not the day, but thought it would be a very quick process based on how it was explained to us. And of course, after Chris's surgery, Chris wasn't waking up. He was put into a medical coma, was there for a couple of weeks. From that point, it was probably, you would think I'd know these days exactly, but time does kind of erase a little bit of this.
Yeah.
It was around 3 to 4 months. Of Chris going to like a step down unit. I mean, and Chris just was there. His body was there, but he wasn't responsive. He didn't track. He didn't look at us. Like, we didn't really know if Chris knew, you know, you hear all these stories of people who don't know their family and don't know who they are. And I mean, we just, our imaginations went wild because Chris couldn't speak or communicate. And, you know, we just kept him alive. And, eventually he started coming around and started trying to speak a little bit. And from that point on, you know, that gave us hope. And we fought to get Chris. So we traveled to many states, but our first state was, we took him to Atlanta, Georgia, to Shepherd Center. I mean, that alone, I'm sure a lot of people know, like, insurance doesn't cover for you to take a medical flight. So, I mean, it's like their journey began with fundraising and just the community of friends that we have, like, had a huge fundraiser trying to help us raise money just to be able to get Chris to a better hospital that, like, understood TBIs, because ours didn't. And, you know, that's kind of where our journey began. So we were there for quite a few months, and Chris wasn't hitting any of his markers. I'm sure you've been told about this. You know, they're like, oh, 3 months, they should be doing this, or 4 months, or 6 months, or, you know, and by a year, they should be at this point, and this is the max that they'll ever get. And so, you know, Chris wasn't doing any of that. And at that time, I was actually told to go back home to Tulsa, take Chris, put him in a nursing home, and that I was still young and single, and I should move on with my life.
You know, and that's definitely something that everyone, and all of our listeners nationally and internationally, can relate to, not only any of those steps, some more direct, some slightly, of what you've shared so far. But most importantly, everyone can relate to that last segment, how you need to just kind of get back to your life, and they say it's individuals, because unfortunately, with any form of a brain injury, it is very unknown. I mean, for example, when you break an arm, you get a schedule of the recovery mode. You know, you're going to have a cast for X amount of weeks, then you're going to do this, then go to therapy for only X amount of time, then by this set date, et cetera, which is great. But for a brain injury, it is completely different, not only because no brain injuries are alike. It doesn't matter how, if they're similar to how they were sustained or if they're similar to the area of damage, they're completely opposite, but also how there is no set time frame on exactly what an individual is going to be able to do and when or how. For example, there was a survivor, and I know you guys have probably met survivors on a personal level that can relate to this through your foundation, have experienced this, or even on a personal level have experienced something similar. This individual 50 years ago sustained his brain injury at the age of 80. And last year, for the first time ever, he was able to stand up for literally not even a full minute, and his legs were shaking very bad. It was very difficult, but he stood up on a stroller and was able to shake, and he made that big change that he had never experienced. It was very emotional, but that to show how there is no end to the road, even though literally to the naked eye, it looks like that, or even to the own individual's mindset of anyone affected by a brain injury, that there's no way any step of success can be gained.
That's exactly it. And we've learned that neuroplasticity is real and that there isn't a time frame to that your brain quits healing. And so for us, that's what gave us hope. So obviously I did not listen to the doctor's advice. I did not dump Chris off somewhere. I did bring him home back to Tulsa just because insurance forced me to. And then from that journey, I tried other places. So I wound up taking him to Tier in Houston for quite a few months. Around that time, we discovered that, you know, Chris, the part I failed to mention is that Chris had developed hydrocephalus during that time and had to have a shunt placed in his brain. And so maybe about 6 months or so after that, we realized that Chris's shunt had been infected probably the entire time. And that was a big factor in him not making progress. And it was undiagnosed when it would act up, you know, when you're in that hospital system for so long, I mean, you have all kinds of other infections and things. So we were constantly treating Chris with antibiotics, which was probably constantly treating the meningitis without anyone actually knowing. So it really took over a year for Chris to be healthy enough to not need antibiotics for that meningitis to actually flare up to just even diagnose it. And right. So, I mean, that was such a journey. So obviously he got a new shunt placed, and then from then actually really started making progress. It was almost just like we set the clock back, and year two was year one, where he was starting to hit all those markers where he should, you know, what he should be doing. And we, Chris's two daughters and I, we just agreed in the very beginning that, you know, that we wouldn't get, we would never give up on Chris, and we wouldn't talk negative in front of him. And really, as long as he kept fighting, I mean, we keep fighting for him. Sorry, my voice. It's still emotional this many years later. Like, it still triggers.
But that's important that you're getting that, because
I tell the story a little bit differently, because I'm just like I used to be. And she wasn't counting on that. They always told her I would never have a personality or anything. So I tell her, I say, well, I know you worked so hard because you didn't think I'd have a personality. But clearly I do.
But you know what? That's phenomenal. That's what's phenomenal. Two things. One, Kim, I want to give you mad props for actually not only continuing to share this very valuable information, but also sharing the emotion behind it. Because that's something that individuals need to address is one thing. It's always going to be something of matter because it's a life-changing obstacle that doesn't ever fade away. So it's always going to be emotional, and it's very honorable for anyone to express their emotions, not try to hold them in and make it more effective on the inside than it is on the outside. but also it's very good that everyone understands that the emotional wellness is very valuable, because when you actually express that and relieve it, it not only shows the symbolic how comfortable you are with being yourself and expressing the gratitude and the emotion behind any event, but especially during a lifelong battle of brain injury recovery, but also the inspirational links that you connect with either people that will say something or other people that will never say anything. You're inspiring them to be more comfortable, to move forward, to take weight off their own shoulders and understand they're not the only one doing this. Also, Chris, with you sharing not only your willingness of your story, but also your passion behind it, and both of you working together, again, it's a great source of inspiration to letting anyone know that literally anything is possible.
We're also turning that into a book called exactly. Never Give Up.
Never give up, it doesn't matter what obstacle you're giving away. But it also is very symbolic, the empowerment that you spark others with, that famous saying, do not ever judge a book by its cover, because everyone has a story.
Yeah, it's so true. And, you know, and once Chris started recovering more and we were able to get to a point where we could actually bear down and start a foundation and start helping others, and as we were coming up with our mission statement and what we wanted to do, I mean, this was year 3.5 of Chris's injury, and we had just found a facility in Texas called REACT, and it's an activity-based therapy center. So we're in Tulsa. It's a 4.5-hour drive. You know, for some people that may seem a lot, but I mean, as I just stated, for the previous 2 years before that, I had lived out of state with Chris almost the entire time. And I would fly back for our business and meetings, and I never left his side. I was with him every single day, just worked from his hospital room. And so to make another journey like that wasn't as unbearable as some people may think, but I drove Chris every single week down to Texas, Wednesday through Friday to therapy. Within the first month, Chris was able to start getting out of his wheelchair. Within the next couple of months, he was able to wean off using a cane and supportive device and actually started walking on his own, which we know to people it's so important, but for what people don't understand is, you know, Chris was a marathoner. Like, he started a marathon. Not only did he love running, it was his passion in life. And, you know, when you have that taken away from you, it's really hard. And so it was really important for us that we focus on that for Chris, to be able to walk again, to be able to get to where he could, you know, create goals, accomplish them. He's a very goal-oriented person. And frankly, I knew if anyone could, you know, push through something, that it was Chris. He's the hardest working, most determined person I've ever met. So I knew that he would be able to push through. And as long as I could be there and support him, that he could do the rest. And so that's what really inspired us when we started our foundation, is, you know, just all the limits that are imposed on recovering from a brain injury. You know, I feel like the doctors are so great at surviving, you know, helping you survive, but then that process afterwards and all the resource afterwards, I think you and your listeners will agree, are just so lacking. And there's not a great support system out there after that. And so we really wanted to help with cover the full situation. So everything from caring and advocacy, that financial help that you need. And then, you know, now what we're working on is building an activity-based therapy center in Tulsa. And more importantly, our goal is that it's going to be free to our clients that come in. It's so important to us that people aren't just bound by those 30 visits. I'm sure you're familiar with what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, how can anyone heal in 30 visits? I mean, you can't even get in shape going to the gym 30 times. Like, and those restrictions are just, they're not reasonable. And I've met so many people through this process that either don't get better, give up, or they go broke. And maybe a little bit of all of that for it to happen, because there's just not enough resources. So it's truly our goal that everything we do, maybe like that St. Jude's mentality, if you can think of it that way, is, I mean, obviously we'll build insurance, but we'll rely on donors and grants and our skills in fundraising to be able to take up the difference so that we can help people and actually give them a chance to get better.
Exactly, and that's what's good. You know, that actually kind of unfolds into the next question I was going to ask. You know, going into the next better and providing with what your foundation does, let's give some more detail to our listeners about the programs that you guys provide for care and, of course, rehabilitation built to meet their goals.
Yeah, well, I mean, you can always go to our website. It lists them all, braininjuryrf.org. But I'll go over them. I mean, awareness and prevention, because we don't want any customers. But that's a big deal to me. I mean, I know I've heard stories. I don't remember the hospital, but everybody's told me about it. I know all they had was Google and WebMD. They didn't know what a brain injury was. So they had to look there. So if I can raise awareness and prevention, we just want fewer customers, but we'll do everything for people that do have them. And then we have Defy Neuro Rehabilitation, which will be the activity-based recovery center in Tulsa and free. And then we have the caring program, which we talked about, where if they are going through this, we are there for them however we can be. You know, I love going to talk to them at the hospital. I'm going to create an online video that way, because people have this around the world and we can't go everywhere. But so we're going to do the video, and then we're going to write the book called Never Give Up, which is Kim and our two stories. You know, I never give up and she did give up on me. And we think having a book is another great thing to do. Everybody in our caring program will get it for free. And other people who want it will be able to buy it off Amazon with all the profit to go into the foundation, which helps as well. And then, you know, we've already talked about financial assistance or guidance, because even if they're doing all our services for free, we have helped others who might have a van or something that needs something fixed. So everybody follows us pretty much. If somebody needs assistance some way other than that, and we put the story out on our pages, we usually get more than they need. I'm not bragging. I'm saying we're glad, you know.
That's good.
So we can help people. You know, we're trying to cover everything. Originally, I thought we'll just build an activity-based recovery center. But as I learned more about it, I'm the type of guy that does that. I want to solve the entire problem of brain and spinal cord injuries, because they're so similar. And, you know, so I want to be like the American Heart Association or whatever, or, you know what I'm saying? I want to solve the whole problem for everybody, because they're very similar problems and people need the same support and same programs we're going to have.
And the same resources, exactly.
And
not have to pay for it. I mean, we've seen a lot of other brain injury nonprofits, and you have to pay to get a caregiver's guide, or you have to pay to get, you know, other resources. And I understand, I mean, if they're a nonprofit, they have to make money, but I don't want to make it from the people who are so desperate for the care.
Well, we're a little different.
Mm-hmm.
They say they're nonprofit and all, but they don't have the resources we have at knowing to have big events. We're going to have several big events throughout the year that raise a lot of money, and we'll be able to do this. And, you know, we're just so thankful. You know, people don't have the life we've had where we can do that. They all have little events, but it's not a serious fundraising event. And
so now we just need COVID to be over.
Yeah.
So we can get back to that.
Exactly. You know, don't we all? But I think it's great, once again, the foundation that you guys not only have created on a professional level, but also the impact of all personal levels that you are both, you know, providing others with. And I think it's very important, not only in general, during everyone's own personal goal setting, assistance, both for caregivers and, of course, survivors, but also helping others understand how with a brain injury, everyone is struggling. And of course, something can grieve differently. So everyone needs to be kind and share support, because it's not only one person that gets touched.
Exactly. And collaborate with other nonprofits and other foundations that are doing this. I feel like the more of us work together, the bigger impact we're going to have. and the more awareness. I think there's still such a stigma with brain injuries, and people assume if you have a brain injury, you're not as intelligent or you're not able to do the things that you could do before. And, you know, and really just to show the community and that's not true. I mean, like, obviously some people are affected more than others, and some people are still on their healing journey more than others, but that person is still a person and still deserves all the respect and support and care that they ever should have received. And I think kudos to you, James, and creating your podcast and bringing awareness to TBIs and everyone that you've interviewed, and really, I mean, your advocacy for getting the information about brain injuries out there is huge. I mean, we followed you on social media and was so honored even just when you reached out to us. We feel like you've had such a great presence and impact on this community.
Well, the point is, we're all trying to do the same thing to help people who are desperate for it. And the way everybody works together is what's really going to make a difference. So,
exactly.
Of course, we love working with you, and that's how we can work together and help people who are literally desperate for it. It's unlike any other injury or any other problem where you don't know it's coming, and you probably never thought of it. You just wake up one day, it happens, and your life is changed forever.
Exactly. And I think it's very honorable to know you guys, be able to learn more about you on both personal and professional level, and of course, direct others your way. Once this COVID starts to simmer down some more than it has been, and obviously that's not saying it's going to be completely removed, but once it gets more under control during this new opportunities of the new year, I'd really like to connect more and create a teamwork that will help make everyone, including survivors, of course, but most importantly, caregivers' dreams become reality. So I want to thank you guys once again for your personal movement, your understanding, but also the inspiration that both of you spread separately and also together, that's showing so many different levels of difference making to never give up and believe that you can succeed.
Well, thank you so much, James. It's an honor to get to talk to you today. And thank you so much for having us on your podcast. It means a lot to us. And we hope to be able to spread hope and inspiration to others going through it, and want to be here for people if they just want to talk or reach out. And we are expanding our caring programs, and we're going to start support groups, and we're working on brochures that are going to go into facilities, especially our region and hopefully around the world, just to even help. As Chris said, when it first happened, I mean, I was on Google and WebMD trying to learn about a brain injury, and that's the worst place to try to learn about one, by the way. You know?
Of course. And, yeah, of course.
And just
so the thing to end up with for me is to tell everybody, just remind them, our website is braininjuryrf.org. You can read all about us, all of our programs, some events we have coming up. And, you know, if anybody needs help, you can sign up for our caring program.
And then we're also on Facebook and Instagram. And
Perfect.
Then we also have a Pinterest board for people that are interested. We've got a lot of different recipes and boards and, you know, information about brain injuries for people to read about, and support for caregivers. And that was really big for me when I was living in the hospital. I was on Pinterest a lot. So that helped me get through it.
I can't even spell it.
That's phenomenal. We'll make sure to direct others to all levels of reaching out to you with social media, your website, and definitely on a personal level, we'll direct people your way. I want to thank you guys once again. Enjoy the start of the new year. God bless you both, and stay well. I look forward to connecting when this starts to clear up more.
Thank you very much.
Bless you too,
We
James.
Appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you.
All right, thank you guys.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, everyone. What a phenomenal show that was. And what a great source of inspiration. As you heard from Kim and Chris, both on their own personal impact, survivor, caregiver, but also the difference making that they are providing for individuals that have sustained a brain injury with proper care, financial assessment, and of course, rehabilitation. If you would like to get in touch with them, as you heard, you can reach them on either social media, or feel free to contact them via their website at braininjuryrf.org. Once again, that's braininjuryrf.org. So if you guys want to gain from them, like I said, they're out of Oklahoma, please feel free to contact them. That was a phenomenal way to kick off our first segment of the new year with great source of inspiration, hope, and of course, education. Speaking of the new year, before we end the show, for all of our listeners that are out of 50 states and 32 countries, TBI One Love and I personally want to let you know that your support is helping change lives of individuals with a brain injury. Even though this year brought about extraordinary challenges and incredible hardship to communities around the world, with contributions from generous donors like yourself, TBI One Love has been able to direct caregivers from all over, nationally and internationally, to the proper guidance of recovery, continue to spread our positive form of hope, inspiration, and education, launch a new and more powerful format of education, inspiration, and hope, and spread education nationally and internationally. TBI One Love now reaches over 15 different countries, and much more has been unfolding. With your help, we can continue to advocate for the support and services people with brain injuries need to live their lives full. So please support our work and visit tbionelove.org/donate and help change lives to the fullest. We appreciate all of our continuing support from all areas all over the globe, on every format of social media, and of course by visiting and looking at our inspirational TBI One Love family of caregivers and also survivors. Let's continue this growth during this new year and work together continuously that is helping change lives better than anyone could ever imagine. Thank you for all you do, are, and being a part of our ability to paint the world green. As always, one love. Please visit us, tbionelove.org, and stay tuned. We have phenomenal series coming up with this new year of opportunities. One love.